Welcome to the Village Church Podcast. Thanks for stopping by and taking the time to listen. We've prayed that this podcast channel blesses and encourages the Village family. So lean in with an open heart, eager to grow, and enjoy the episode.
G'day everyone, and it's wonderful to be with you in your home. And even though we can't meet together in our normal places of worship and fellowship on a Sunday, we still get to worship together and we still get to actually meet together in God's truth. And to allow God's truth to come and be a light in our lives. I don't know how level four is going for you at your place. I've spoken to some of you personally, but not everyone, obviously. But we're in a whole new routine, Teresa and I. We sold our place in Cairns Crescent, as most of you will be aware, and moved in with the Mackays right there on Hakarimata Road, Taupiri or Huntley or Narawahi or whichever one you want, because we're sort of in the middle of all of it. And their place goes down to the river. And it's been quite neat just being there in lockdown. Obviously, spent a lot more time with, you know, Cole and Nico and Bowden, my three grandsons. And guys, you're looking right now at me talking to you from the TV, and obviously, I'm probably even sitting alongside you on the couch. But as you know, Nanny and Papa, as they call us, and Mum and Dad to Hannah and Luke, we're getting to do some neat life, you know, together. Abby's with us as well. So there we are in our little bubble. What we did last Sunday night, we actually had a progressive dinner. Yep, Abby made this amazing entree, and there's a photo of it in your worksheet. We did a pretty cool meal with some pork chops and some mixed veggies and different other things. It was fun. And Hannah and Luke, mate, blew everyone away with, again, amazing dessert. So we were certainly full gospel preachers that night. But the fellowship was great. Meeting around a table, and that's one of the things we've done a little bit in this lockdown time, is that we've eaten together. We've obviously had some great conversations together. We've played a little bit of chip and putt. We've done a lot of maintenance. We've done a lot of just getting things finished and finalised in our property, in our little place that we're living in. Luke's been busy. We've all been busy. We've been doing stuff together. Luke's taken the boys down to the river a few times, taken them fishing. And yeah, the Waikato River is amazing. I was going to talk a little bit more about that this morning, but I want to talk more about having a meal together with Jesus. And there's a great story we're going to reference in a moment. But on your worksheet, there's some questions about the Waikato River. I think it's neat for us to think about this river that runs right through the centre of our city and up through Narawahia and on its way. And there's some neat facts about it. There's some historical stuff it's good for us to think about. There's some quite amazing, just to realise the significance of the river for New Zealand and a number of things. So I put some questions down there and I thought, let's make it personal. If kids are watching this, or even, you know, it doesn't matter what the age group of our kidness is, if you want to, respond to those questions. I put my email there. Email me. Let's talk together a little bit about it. Let's grow in our understanding of this, and maybe there's some life lessons we can draw together from looking at the Waikato River, no pun intended, and we can learn from it. So let's interact there. But today, the reading, and hopefully, if you haven't already, stop, push pause on the video, read it, get someone to read it out. But this is the story of Matthew, or Levi, as he's introduced here, the tax collector, and Jesus' invitation for him to come and follow him and to be Jesus' disciple. So I'll leave the reading of the scripture to you, but let's just pick up a little bit. Who is Matthew? Okay, well, he is a wealthy senior sort of tax collector for the government that he's working for Herod of Antipas. He's one of Herod's chief tax collectors. So he's got a reasonably significant position. So he's sort of one of the tax collectors that probably helps to lead and have influence over the other tax collectors. He had a big home. And we get to see this in a moment, because he was able to host a banquet with a lot of his friends and family there with Jesus as the guest of honour. So we'll get into that in a moment. He had a comfortable existence. He would have had, like I said, a bit of wealth. But he was willing to give it all up to follow Jesus. So just think about that. Why would he want to do that? Well, obviously, he had Jesus standing in front of him and the living word and Jesus' anointing and his charisma and his heart and his life. And I think I love the way the Chosen movie has been portraying Jesus. Actually, I think they've captured Jesus in that picture, how I would imagine. But that warmth, that sort of feeling of being welcome in his company, but also the anointing that was on his life. I think it's a good picture. So Matthew was interacting with that. So I think something obviously stirred in Matthew. Thought, man, this guy talking to me has got authority, but he's also got a warmth. He's got a love. Why wouldn't I want to follow him? Now, obviously, you get that sense of rapport there. But I wonder also if within Matthew, even with all his wealth, with all his responsibility, with all the things that he was noted for, I wonder if there was this void in him thinking, man, I just feel empty. I haven't got everything that I feel like my life needs. And when he heard Jesus speak, something within him resonated. Thought, that's what I've been looking for. And I know a number of us may be considering this right now. I know for me, actually hearing the gospel in a way that responded to the need that I felt inside. Man, I was compelled. I got to give up what I was doing. Come follow Jesus. So that's who Matthew was, and I think having a guess at why he was willing to let it all go. Look, what happens then is we see later in the story, so there's this invitation, this interaction, and it says, verse 29, later Levi or Matthew said, Jesus, come back to my place and come to my dinner table, my place of intimacy and fellowship. Maybe he had an entree like Abby's sitting there as well, and I don't know. But it was this sense of come and be at my home. And he takes Jesus home to join him and his friends at the dinner table. And I think, what a neat picture that is. So Matthew, hearing the invitation from Jesus to come and follow him, thinks, actually, I want to follow him with all of my life. Starting at home. Come home with me, Jesus. Meet my friends. Be the influence in me with my friends. Come meet my family. Come and sit with me around my table. And give me that sense of what you're doing. I'm just putting my phone back into a place where I can see it because I don't want to talk too long. All right, here we go. Brings him around the table. And why he's sitting there? There must have been some Pharisees in the midst of it. I'm not sure if they were friends of Matthew or they just followed. I'm not sure. But they get a little bit gnarly. In fact, they say to Jesus' other disciples, and they obviously overheard by Jesus as well, they said, why on earth is Jesus eating with the scum? That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? But it's in the Bible in the New Living Translation. Why is Jesus eating with this scum? Now, tax collectors probably didn't have, you know, the best of reputations, or you know, they probably weren't the most popular people in the town because they collected taxes. And I know at different times the government in our country and the things that they ask of us or want to impose on us don't necessarily endear themselves to us as well. That's another conversation and another point. But this religiousness, there's an ugliness to religion, isn't there? A judgmentalness to religion, a sense of black and whiteness that can actually push people away more than draw them in. And I think that was the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees at the time. And that was quite often the interaction and the barter that and the banter they had with Jesus. You know, actually, that was what drove them in the end to push Jesus towards a cross. Jesus went willingly, but the Pharisees and the religious people lost sight of the relationship because they got so caught up in the rules. Just note to self, it's good for us to think about that. Okay, why was Jesus willing to get intimate with the sinners? Because he felt their need. In fact, he knew and recognized that that's why he came. He came to engage with sinners and see sinners find the love of God and be set free. So Jesus actually responds to the Pharisees, and he challenges their attitude. Okay, just real quick, what does this reveal to us about Jesus? And I've already given you some hint. One, he calls people to come and follow him, not just to believe in him. Come and follow me. Come and walk with me through life. Don't just believe in me and stay where you are. No, come follow me. Matthew heard that call and he went. He loves it when we take him home. Like Matthew, he says, great, I'm going to come. I'm going to come with you, sit in your home, sit into the intimate aspects of who you are when nobody else can see. And let's get real around the table together. Let's eat together. Let's reason together. Let's find life together. So Jesus is really happy to do that. In fact, I think being a follower of Jesus really requires us to do that. Okay. He reclines happily at the table with sinners and tax collectors. Already mentioned that. Jesus isn't put off by our sin. Jesus isn't put off by our underbelly. In fact, he wants to help us expose it for what it really is so that we can find the freedom of who he really is in us. Okay? And then he wants to lead people to change. That's who Jesus is. Like I said before, come follow me. Come follow me and be my disciple. Learn how to bring discipline and structure to your life so you can be changed from the inside out. He leads people into change, verse 32. New life, healing, restoration, transformation, even a whole new sense of purpose. Matthew the tax collector, one of the chief dudes of Herod, became one of the first disciples of Jesus. In fact, the first book of the Bible, of the New Testament, Matthew, he's the dude that wrote it. He became a deep, close, intimate, and co-laborer with Jesus for the advancement of the kingdom. What a cool story. So I've put some thoughts down now on the activity sheet. We're going to stop, and there's some questions here where you can talk together about some of your mealtime moments, but also read the scripture again and see what stands out to you about some of aspects of the story. Discuss it together. There's some questions and there's some ways that you can pray for one another. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Looking forward to being back together in person when the government allows us to do it. But let's just remember, we're not alone. We're in this together. And if any of you need to pick up a phone and have a chat, please do. Call one of the elders. And if there's ways we can walk with you or even just celebrate with you, let's do it. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. And I'm looking forward to hearing how you go and your interaction at your place. Take care. Bye-bye.